Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the second edition of the Accursed Race, brought to you by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. It's day 7 on the trails of the Accursed, and after Justyna Slaveyka crossed the finish line yesterday evening to win the race, this morning it's the turn of Christoph Dijkman, Cap 14, to become the second rider to return to Škoda. Justyna has enjoyed a good night's sleep and is waiting with race reporter Andrew Phillips.
So we're all stood here eagerly waiting for Chris Dijkmans to roll in. It's the morning after Justyna has arrived. There's a bit of a hustle and bustle in Škoda. The market's in full swing. We've got bikes all over the pavement. We've got people traipsing about with brollies. We've got mopeds. We've got fruit everywhere. We've got fish. And Chris is going to have to navigate his way through this final slalom in order to reach the finish line. Justyna, is this what you expected? Is Chris where you thought he'd be?
No, I have questions. I wonder where he stopped to sleep, because I'm pretty sure I saw his lights yesterday. So, it couldn't have taken that long.
Do you think you might have imagined the lights?
This might be an option. Might have happened. Nah, but I'm happy that you made it, and I'm happy to see him soon. You have to use a bell! Where's the bell?
Doesn't look very happy.
So, congrats.
I thought they saw your lights, man, yesterday. Where were you?
I made a big mistake.
What happened?
I never race with you. No, it's really the thing. Because I thought at a point you will be in front and I will never race, and I tried to race but really too late, and no way to try to do Pac-Man or something. At a point I closed a bit the gap from 100 to 40, and I slept a lot after. So
I was pretty sure, man. Like, when I lost the phone, you know, and I couldn't set alarms.
Nothing. Yeah, you had no phone.
Nah.
Okay, yeah.
But I knew that Chris probably gonna fuck up his alarms. He'll always sleep anyway, so I'm not...
9 hours sleep.
It's more than I got today, probably.
The snow and changing weather during those first few days of the race has had an impact on the field. Our riders are all going strong, but spread throughout the route, with the large gaps between them. It makes it much more difficult for our team to track them down. Race reporter Tom Probert is spending the day in and around the town of Piškoty and Control Point 2.
We're here in the control car, heading down an off-road track in between Kukes and Piškoty, where CP2 is. Sam, the photographer, is engaged full rally mode, and we're getting really thrown around here. There's quite an alarming drop-off to one side of the track, which is hundreds of feet, which we're all trying to ignore. The riders have got a spectacular view and some challenging climbs, and probably some quite fun descents, because it's a gravel track that is absolutely very rideable. But it's not really any flat sections here. It's always either climbing or descending. We just passed Elias and Spike on the road climb out of Kukes. Now we've got the situation where we're trying to get ahead of them to get some shots, which means we have to drive fast enough to get ahead of them as I just get sprayed with water. But obviously driving on these trails is quite challenging. Luckily, Sam's a fully qualified rally driver, so we feel in safe hands here. Have you just spotted our rider, Sam?
Yeah, I have. He is just across the valley. A little bit stressed, because the sun's out and there doesn't seem to be a lot of sun today. But Spike, being a camera person that he is, I believe, if I take a look, He has stopped to take a photo of his bike against this backdrop, which is great, but I'm also waiting to take a photo against this backdrop with the sunlight, so if you could hurry up, that would be great.
So the ideal scenario is when you find a position for the shot where you can get multiple shots, right? So here you can get one across the valley.
Yeah.
And then we're kind of like, we've just clambered up like a little, what do you call this?
Ravine?
A little ravine.
An amazing trials bike section is what it would be.
So the course, the track here is going right past us below. So Sam's then got a shot, a second shot to get from this position. So 2 for 1.
2 for 1. What's he doing? Oh.
Puncture?
I think puncture. It looks like he might be trying to push in a, whatchamacallit, plug.
A plug.
Devo.
Pretty cool that you can see that from here, because I can just see like a little dot.
Yeah. A little dot just fanning around. The joys of riding off-road, eh? Especially on this, there's some proper gnarly little rocks and stuff. Plenty of opportunities for punctures.
Photos taken, the team head back to control point 2, where Tom speaks to another one of our race photographers, Mike Drummond.
So I'm a photographer here at CP2, and basically my role here is to document riders coming in, both at the control point, getting their stamps from the volunteers here, but also heading out onto the trail that leads into and out of Pushkopi. So heading into the mountains and laying in wait for riders as they either traverse down or head back out along the course.
And what are your main considerations or challenges when you're actually taking shots of these guys out on the trail?
Well, for one thing, it's remaining hidden, that's for sure. I mean, you know, it kind of makes sense that, I don't know if anyone's been to a wedding, but you know, the photographer will ask you, if you can see me, I can see you. So there's a real challenge there of remaining hidden whilst documenting a rider in plain sight. So some of us have got ghillie suits. I bought myself I think what it is a kid's like army tank top, but just to cover my camera and put it on some rocks. So that's proved helpful so far. But yeah, equally long lenses are a huge help because riders are so focused on the trail in front of them. You can be, you know, half a kilometre away, hiding in the trees and bushes, and basically capture some angles which otherwise you probably wouldn't bother to trek out and find if you were driving. And ideally, like, you can climb up to some really rough track that's not on the route to, again, get a new vantage point. So I think it's vital in, yeah, sharing the landscape and equally just showing how small the riders are in these huge expanses of mountain.
The team in Control Car 2 have driven out to find and photograph our two riders in contention for our third and final podium position. Race coordinator, David Eyre.
I am currently standing on a mountainside on a remote track, 100 kilometres from the finish line in Škoda. We are currently waiting for Christian Dupraz and Pierre Bischoff. They are roughly 7 or 8 kilometres away from us at the moment, and coming towards us quite quickly. So after nearly 1,500 kilometres of racing, they are quite incredibly around 500 metres apart. They've just been coming up a fairly steep climb, and they will definitely have been able to see each other on that climb. Pierre did have quite a considerable lead earlier today, but lost quite a lot of time. Not sure what it was that has caused that yet. We'll be asking him that at the finish line when we see him. But this means that the race for the third and final podium position is really hotting up right now. So we're expecting a very exciting few hours ahead.
It takes a while, but Tom finally gets to speak to one of our riders. Martin Novak, Cap 27, rolls into control point 2. He seems exhausted, but keen to continue.
How are you feeling, Martin?
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to see you again.
You too. Well, we had no idea when you were going to turn up. We couldn't see you on the map, so I'm glad that you're safely here.
So, this is a big surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nobody knows about me.
You're here sooner than I expected.
Yeah, this part was
tough.
It was hard. I want to continue.
Oh, you just want to get out of here as fast as possible?
So, I want to be at the finish.
Yeah.
It's simple.
As soon as you can.
It's too much. So that's why I need to check where I am and continue.
Adrian Liechti came second at the Accursed last year and has been stationed at CP2 as a volunteer this time around.
You raced this last year, so you know what the riders have got in store when they're approaching CP2 here. What's it going to be like for the riders on this last section coming in?
Yeah, the last stretch before the downhill, yeah, it's mostly big rocks, loose big rocks, and to ride it you really have to push to be focused and to see, to look at your wheel. And it's a long stretch, I think 40 or 50k of that. It's beautiful, but yeah, it's hard, and during the day it's quite okay, but at night it's different. Yeah.
How have the riders been so far? You've got your list I saw earlier on that you've made of how many have you had? Seven riders through. What kind of state have they been in?
Justinas, he was so tired because he did the stretch at night, and it's really not funny. It was wet, it rained. But the last rider, the two last, they were okay, yeah? Because they resupply before and after, and it was during the day. But yeah, they are mostly super tired and ask about the rest of the route, yeah.
One person who knows a thing or two about the Accursed route is race director Hannah Lobelessier. Tom speaks to Hannah about the care and thought that goes into the planning of the race.
What's the start point for designing the route?
I guess coming here and bringing the race here was really inspired by TCR coming through the Balkans. And it's the place in TCR where riders really start to feel a sense of being away from Western Europe and experiencing quite a different culture. And we really wanted to bring riders here and to be able to explore some of this region in greater depth by taking them off-road and by defining the route for them so that we get to choose where they go. And yeah, the route is really quite an exploration of the Balkans and like trying to take them to the best places here, but also trying to find some of the unknown places here. We also really try and strike a balance with, we try not to add in off-road sections gratuitously. Like if there's a tough section of route, it's there for a reason. And we're not going to send you on a section of hiker bike when there's a perfectly good road next to you. Like if there's a section with some hiker bike in, it's to get you to somewhere really incredible. And I think one of the really nice things about the route is that there is such a minimal amount of hiker bike. Like if you're a competent off-road rider, 99.9% of the route is rideable, and you might just be pushing your bike for maybe half an hour or an hour overall.
So when you're planning and designing the route, what experience are you trying to give the riders?
I think it's about finding that sense of narrative throughout the route where it just really makes sense and that you get those changing landscapes as you go. And that's something that really fell into place with this first route. And you know, you never go more than maybe 50k without the landscape changing completely. And that's something that we really want to achieve with the next edition that we're currently wrecking.
Yeah. And is that going to change a lot?
Who knows? I can't tell you too much yet.
Evening in Peshkopi, and Florian Bouchel becomes the ninth rider to arrive at CP2.
Here he is. Florian.
Hi.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. I was missing you.
Yeah, we haven't seen you for the whole race.
Yeah, exactly.
You've always been slightly ahead of us.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's been going well.
We couldn't catch you.
No, I'm super happy with the race. I found out that I'm apparently in the top 10 right now at the moment.
We were just reflecting on last year where you had to scratch, and you've now gone way past the point where you scratched last year. How did that feel when you went past that point?
It was really special when I passed that point, because then I was in new territory that I didn't know before. I was really excited to get to see the Giro trail.
Yeah. And how does it feel to get to control point two?
It's amazing. I almost cannot believe it. It's only two more sections to go.
Are you starting to think ahead to the finish now and think it might be possible?
Yes, yes. If there's nothing big happening anymore, I can definitely do it. I still feel very strong and got enough sleep and, yeah, I'm going to push.
Sounds like you're enjoying it.
Yes, very much. Like 90% of it I really enjoyed, but there's always some adventure included.
I'm standing outside Hotel Piazza in downtown Peshkopi. It's Monday night. It's dark, and although things are winding down here in the chaos of earlier in the day has subsided, there's still lots of people very slowly ambling up and down this wide paved boulevard. We're now waiting for cap number 8, Alain Rumpf, to come in. And again, we haven't seen him for about 400 kilometres or so, like a few days now. So it'll be very interesting to hear how he's been getting on. Always a pleasure to chat to Alain. But it's great to have jumped back up the field a bit in terms of the riders that we're seeing. And really looking forward to seeing the rest of the riders come through. It should be a busy day tomorrow. We've got a full day here, and I'll be here just waiting for riders to come through and hearing about all their adventures from the trail. Here comes Alain. He's slowly wobbling up the street here with his light blaring.
Well done, man. Well done. You made it.
And I made my shopping too.
That's the spirit.
Well done, buddy. Well done, man.
Hey, sorry, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Welcome to CP2, Alain.
Thank you.
You made it.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be here?
Feels good. Feels good. There's so many things to say, but at the same time, you know, every day is a bit of the same. You know, you think, okay, this is going to be the big challenge. When I'm there, then it's fine. I'm almost there. And no, there's always something, you know, like walking in snow for 15 kilometers in Dormitor Park, or this top of the mountain there, which is, must be my wife calling.
And well, we haven't seen you since Brod in the little hut next to the gas station.
Yes.
So that was quite a long time ago now. Have you had any strange experiences or stories since then?
So many. So many, but I think I'm in a bit of a blur now and in need of my pizza to get my ideas clear. But the kindness of people, maybe the kindness of people. Mm-hmm. Like, I just stopped at this market, you know, like hole in the wall, and got everything I need for tomorrow and had a nice chat in broken English with the owner, and asking me where I'm from, what I'm doing, etc. And it was so nice. Also up in the mountain, you know, you have people living there with just nothing and seemingly so happy. Makes you reflect on our values, I think. You know, for me, it's not a race for results. It's really a race to finish in the best possible mindset. So I really want to enjoy the rest of this race, and we'll see what happens.
But having said that, I think you're in 10th place. I think you're in the top 10. So that's something to aim for, maybe, for the finish.
Yeah, but the worst thing would be to focus on that, because, well, A, I would not think of anything else, and I would not enjoy the hospitality and kindness of people and all these wonderful things. So, you know, I've done enough races in my life to not focus on that. But also, we're still very far from the finish. So much can happen, you know. My goal is to just get to the hotel before the kitchen closes, and that's going to be nice. That's my goal.
Pizza is the priority.
Yes, yes.
Nice. Okay, go and get it.
Okay, cool.
It's inspiring to follow any ultra race and marvel at the incredible feats of endurance required. But to see it close up provides an even greater level of admiration. So much so, in fact, capturing our riders at this year's Accursed has had a real impact on race photographer Sam Dugon.
We've been kind of up close and personal with these riders for the best part of a week now. You've been inspired by it, haven't you?
I have, unfortunately, been inspired by these riders, despite the fact that they're turning up in absolutely, like, tattered states. I've been very inspired. Like, I want to still have fun and I want it to still be an experience if I were to ever do something like this. But the riders mid to the back of the pack, especially there's been a few of the British riders, their kind of approach to it, where they've been prioritising a bit more sleep and then going faster when they are riding because of the rest that they've had, I've kind of gone, that seems like something that could be achievable.
Mm-hmm. What is it that you've seen these riders getting out of this experience that has made you want to have a bit of that yourself, do you think?
Yeah, just the stories and the excitement. I don't know if necessarily saying like the tiredness that they come into a CP with or something like that is a really weird inspiration, but like it's a very satisfying feeling to push yourself, go through those highs, go through those lows and come out stronger at the other side of it. And there's always a time and a place for it in life to sort of push yourself through that, and I just think now is maybe the time. I don't know, it's been on my mind for so long and I don't even know if it's necessarily a format of riding that I enjoy, but it's been on my mind for too long that I can't go through life without having tried it at least once.
Scratch the itch now.
Join us in our next episode, which should see more riders rolling into the finish line in Škoda. There are some tired legs out on the trails, but also plenty of patience, persistence, and sheer willpower. Plus, a lot of kilometres ahead. You can read daily race reports from the trails and get updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.